All right, well, look, there's nothing Kevin and I can do about what's happening down the street right now. And there's nothing you can do either. So let's just enjoy, shall we? The Blue Jays 3-1 win over the Tampa Bay Rays at the Rogers Center. Tonight, it is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. A very rapid edition. We'll turn you over at some point to Bunkus, Bourne, and McKee, and you can drown your sorrows with the boys after the Leafs Panthers game goes final. I'll spare you the gory details. Barker, Kirky, yes. It's the Alejandro Kirk game. Throws out the base runner, one of the fastest runners in baseball, and hits a 3-run home run.
Yeah, I mean, look, that it's
earning his money tonight, Kevin.
I've always said this. It's not how many he gets; it's when he gets them. I mean, that's one of the situations where you need him to come up and slug a little bit, right? And I think just the little sort of mechanical changes he's made, shortening up the bigger moves, making them smaller, just allows when he does make his positive move towards the pitcher, he can get his front foot down a little bit more on time. You know, gives him at least a decent chance to catch up to some velocity. He's doing that because he's keeping his hands inside the baseball. I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. You got to let him throw a ball down the middle. Jeff, where was the 0-2 pitch at?
Down the middle.
You couldn't have set it on a tee any better. And when you get him, you don't miss him, right? I mean, you know, he wasn't trying to do too much. He does have that approach where it's everything's going towards right center. You can remember last year, if you close your eyes, right, it was the first move was opening the hips because he's trying to get the barrel in the zone because, quite frankly, it wasn't fast enough to sort of catch up to all the quadrants that he was trying to catch up to. Now you don't feel like he has to do that, right? I think just the flow of starting to play every single day, making those little minor mechanical changes, being in a happy zone between the ears, having the good direction to where you want your barrel to end up. It's not so much about the pitch you're looking for. It's about where the direction of your barrel's going. That's right center. Get you a decent pitch. Hopefully he's going to start slugging some more, right? Again, I'll say this and I'll continue to say it. It ain't how many Kirky's getting. It's when Kirky's getting them. And tonight it's exactly what the doctor ordered. What's the old saying? You get good pitching, you play really good defense, you get timely hitting. That's called winning, Jeff.
I've never heard that saying before.
Well, I'll be here all week.
3-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Tampa Bay Rays. Jimmy Garcia finishing off the game, looking like the Jimmy Garcia we've seen in the past. Chris Bassett keeping the Rays lineup at bay. Ryan Pepiot, a guy we talked about him coming into the game. He's got a really good fastball, but he's had issues with location. It's been hit hard. The OPS against his fastball is one of the worst in Major League Baseball. Kevin, he looked awfully good tonight, but again, location.
Absolutely. I mean, again, he had velocity, had a good location on the fastball. Danny Jansen did a really good job, setting the target up. It was basically, I'm going to put my body where it needs to be. The last thing you'll see is the glove, throw it at the glove, right? So much aim at the middle of the body, right? Danny's a big dude. You know, you got a lot of room to miss there. He did a really good job of getting Ryan in the zones. He needed to get him in. But give the rotation for the Blue Jays credit. Bassett was good little when he came in. Trying to find the release point on the knuckle curve is not the easiest thing, right? I mean, he's relying on stuffing people to death with that thing more than location. Sometimes it's hard to keep it in the zone. He did a decent enough job. Yariel Rodriguez, huh? Who, what, when, where? Wow. I mean, he continues to do that. All of a sudden, he's running out of the pen. Jeff Blair ain't yelling and screaming anymore. You mentioned Garcia. They made a couple of defensive plays when they had to. You mentioned the Kirky throwing out the really fast Simpson runner at second base, which is a big
Ernie
deal.
Ernie Clement, right? makes a play at home.
Absolutely. I mean,
key plays in what turned out to be a two-run game. Both of those key plays. Both of those saving potential runs. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, and the Varsho slide in the ninth inning, too, right, sort of helped, right, take a little pressure off of Jimmy when, you know, Jimmy's going through it. So, yeah, I mean, they made the plays when they had to make them. You know, it's sort of like Groundhog Day with its defense. You know, it's sort of boring because they're making the plays most of the time that they should be making. That's what you do when you're trying to win. You got to make those plays. They did exactly what that. After the game last night, I think this is the perfect scenario. You know, you had your dude on the mound. He did what he had to do. He tried to sequence the race to death, which is exactly what Bassett did, right? It's away. It's moving. It's changing speeds. It's frustrating the dude on the on-deck circle. So when you walk to the plate, you really have no plan. That's exactly what he did. And somebody needs to run into one. 19 homers last 13 games.
Oh, they're
small
starting,
ball. What?
They're starting to slug. I mean, you talked about it. It's not that they're incapable of slugging. It's just that it's what they were swinging at, and we're starting to see that manifest itself now. There really is. Look, it's not the greatest lineup in baseball, but as you've said, there is slug in this lineup. It shouldn't come as a surprise that we're starting to see it. And I just get the sense, you know, the past. I mean, we've gone back and forth, and we've talked about this, about, you know, about the Jays record and, you know, the first month and all this stuff. You just kind of get the sense when you watch a team that it's almost as if the season, there's a certain point in the year where the season starts, and it's not just opening day. It just, things kind of develop a rhythm. The strengths start to show themselves. The weaknesses, yes, they start to show themselves, but teams have started to adjust to try to address those weaknesses. You just kind of get the sense that we might as well just settle in right now, because this, to me, is a 2025 season. This is the way it's going to look right now until we get the trade deadline. This is the way it's going to look.
Just dream if you could get Vladdy and Tony Taters hot at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, both of them dudes are late. I mean, you know, Buck was talking about it, right? Velocity and zones, they should be hammering.
I mean, Kevin,
they're not, because they're late.
Anthony Santander is just overmatched by 95, 96. That's,
well, I mean, overmatched is a bit strong.
Well, he's swinging and missing.
I mean, that's sometimes not overmatched, right? I mean, he's getting the pitches he wants to get in zones he wants to get them at. I mean, the pitches he's striking out is because he's missing pitches that he should be hammering. It's either he's starting when the pitcher's in the wrong spot, right? I mean, that's a lot of it, too, is it's not a lot of the times when you start your trigger. It's when you start when the pitcher goes. When is that? Is he doing it too late? That, for me, is when they need to sort of go back to the drawing board and figure out how to just get his foot down a little sooner, which allows him to start hitting some homers. So they're 500 without them two basically doing anything. Hopefully they can turn it around.
3-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Tampa Bay Rays. This series is tied up at one game apiece. The third game of the series goes tomorrow afternoon at 3:07. We're going to step aside, come back, and take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The 0-2. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. Meisner back at the track. Turns around. See you later! Big fly, Alejandro Kirk, and the Blue Jays jump in front, 3-1.
That was Ben Schulman with the call as Alejandro Kirk's three-run home run, the big blow in the Blue Jays 3-1 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. It is an abbreviated edition of Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. They're down to the stems and seeds at Scotiabank Arena, and we'll get you over to Leafs Talk in a few minutes. The Leafs just scored, and there's all sorts of nastiness now in front of the net, which is, I guess if you're going to show up, you might as well show up with a minute and six left in the game.
Be nice. Well, man.
Yeah. Anyhow, time to look around the out-of-town scoreboard, specifically at the American League East with Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Baltimore Orioles, Kevin Barker. They are
my twins. Yes.
That's my twins. That's my team.
No.
Baltimore Orioles are in a world of hurt. I get up every morning expecting to see that Brandon Hyde's been fired by the Orioles. The Minnesota Twins. Well, yeah, I mean, that's dumb. It's not his fault, but managers get fired when their team's 15-26. Huh. The Orioles swept today by the Minnesota Twins, 8-6 and 6-3. The Yankees, they beat the Seattle Mariners 3-2. The Detroit Tigers, they're in next. And boy, they got it going on. The Detroit Tigers beating the Boston Red Sox 6-5 today. So that, coupled with the Blue Jays win, leaves the American League standings. Thusly, the Yankees are 25-18.
Let's hear it, Jeff. Let's hear it.
What?
Who's in second place?
The Blue Jays are in second place with a gaudy 500 record.
Yes.
They are 21-21. Again, the record doesn't matter. It's all relative to where you are with the other playoff teams. Gosh. The Boston Red Sox, they're a game under 500. The Tampa Bay Rays are four under 500 at 19-23. And Barker's poor old little Baltimore Orioles, they are 15-26. And
it's early.
Yeah, it's not early if you're the Baltimore Orioles. Their run differential, Kevin, minus 70. Minus 70.
Do you blow it up?
Well, no. But for comparison's sake, the Miami Marlins are minus 73. And the Colorado Rockies, I'm not even going to say what the Colorado
Rockies. What is it?
It's minus 132. It's,
wow,
it's,
that's, really?
That's really hard
that's
to do.
That's awesome.
That's really hard to do. Listen, the Orioles, I mean, obviously you're not going to blow it up because it's a young team, but I mean, you've got to do, look, you're going to have to get some starting pitching in next year, the year after. I mean, you might as well start it right now. You know, if I'm the Orioles, I'm sitting there saying, I got to get a deal done with one of my young guys. I have to send a message. I got to get a deal done with Gunnar Henderson. And then, you know, then you got to trade for pitching. And I'm at the point now where I understand he's team leader. You know, we said there's something Jeter-esque about the guy, all this stuff, but I might be soliciting some calls for Adley Rutschman at some point at this
already.
Trade deadline. Well, their top prospect's a catcher. I mean, you got to do something to get not just one pitcher, but you got to get a couple of pitchers in. You got to hope that Grayson Rodriguez comes back at somebody. We're not even talking about this year. We're talking about next year. I think we're already talking about next year with the Orioles. So
yeah. Well, you're talking about blaming players. You know, for me, that they didn't have anything to do with stopping momentum, organizational momentum.
Nobody's blaming the players. But I mean, you're gonna. You know, if you want to get new players in, you're going to have to trade guys. Nobody's blaming them. I'm not blaming Gunnar Henderson for the fact they aren't winning. I'm not even blaming Adley Rutschman. But nobody's blaming anybody about that. But if you're going to get players in, you got to trade players. Doesn't mean the players haven't done the job, but it's the only way you're going to address those issues.
The million-dollar question has been for the last year and a half, who do you trade? Because they seem to come up with the answer to that.
Well, that's a good point. You know, and we spent a great deal of time talking about that. Kobe Mayo's a perfect example. They've hung on to guys, and you know, I mean, I don't know how much traction there really was with Tarek Skubal at the trade deadline last year, but I would have made traction if I was running the Orioles. I would absolutely have made traction. You think about maybe getting him, and you also already had Corbin Burns. Yeah, I just think the Orioles are, you know, the Orioles are mishandling. I think they've really mishandled their window of opportunity.
Yep.
But anyhow, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. The story tonight, the Blue Jays winning 3-1. Good defense, good starting pitching. Jimmy Garcia gets the save. Alejandro Kirk comes through with the 3-run home run. Kevin, Chris Bassett tonight, Buck and Dan talked about his decision in concert with Pete Walker to essentially let Alejandro Kirk call the game using the pitch comm. Bassett would shake if he didn't like the pitch, he'd shake off. The thought process was that this would go a little ways towards helping him develop a little more rhythm. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it didn't seem to me like it lasted very long. I mean, you're seeing that, you know, an inning and a half, and then it went south, and you know, once he's getting on the side of the backdoor cutter or the cutter up and in, you know, he stopped doing that, right? It's the sequencing. It's trying to get on the same page quicker.
Bassett wasn't calling many pitches.
He was pushing the button a lot. Like, it was early. I think that's more early, just trying to get him in rhythm quicker. so it can take a little bit of the mental pressure off of Bassett and allow him just to think about release point and getting in his lanes and thinking about, you know, where this thing's moving to. And if I get it there, what am I throwing for the next pitch instead of worrying about two, what button to always push. If you're letting the catcher do that, maybe that just gives him a little bit of a mental break, allows him just to make better quality pitches in better locations to certain, you know, there was a lot of lefties he's facing. You know, you're thinking more about good misses than thinking about a pitch or two ahead and which button to push and how many times to push it. So I think for me, at least it was early on, a little bit more about that. After about the second or third inning, you were seeing him push the button a lot. So, yeah, I mean, it worked. You know, it's not the best stuff we've ever seen him have. I mean, he's been this way the last couple of outings. You just like the, you know, when he made a bad one, he didn't let it fester. He got right back after it. The cutter was cutting enough. The sinker he was throwing was getting in there enough to allow him to, when he did miss with some secondary pitches, he could get away with them. So, yeah, throw enough strike ones. You throw enough quality pitches on the black. Your misses are tough takes. You're going to go deep enough to give somebody a chance to run into one. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, getting out of the fourth inning with just allowing one run was really huge, I think, for him. And that was the defense. That was the defensive play we saw from Ernie Clement with Meisner at home plate.
Yeah, the first inning with two on, the third inning with two on,
right.
The fourth thing he just mentioned. I mean, he was like the worm. He was wiggling out a bunch of situations out there. It worked. I think this is the Bassett you should get used to seeing. You're going to have to grind through it, right? I mean, he's not super hard thrower anymore. He's not going to consistently throw 94. You know, it's going to be more 91, 92, which means the location has to be super on point. He's going to have to think three or four pitches ahead. I think that's why Buck and Petey and, you know, Kirky and whoever else wants to throw their 2 cents with was just sort of try and get it on the tracks early as you possibly can. And then if you want to start filling in the blanks a little bit later, you can do that.
All right, the final score of the Blue Jays beating the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1. The third game of the series goes tomorrow afternoon. It's a 3:07 first pitch. Blair and Barker will be on from 2 to 3 to get you set for that game. We're going to pass you off right now to the boys and Leafs talk. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in El Monte and Carlton Place. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.